Well, there are some here this evening who have been able to make it tonight, who otherwise haven't been able to be here before, no doubt because it's hard sometimes to get out. And there's some here who are visiting with us, and we want you all to know that you are most certainly welcome, and we hope that you have questions for us after the services, and if you do, feel free to ask any of the men about the way things are taught and the way things are done here. We want you to be spiritually fed, and this is my aim of this gospel meeting, to feed you spiritually just as much as you have fed me physically. And I know, as a lot of people have commented on how, quote-unquote, skinny I have gotten, and I have been fed, and I appreciate everything that you've done for me, and those of you who have taken me and my family out, whether it's in your home or out to eat. Thank you so much for that and for taking care of us this week. And you're our family, and we love you so much. We want you to know that every day I think about you when I'm in Huntington, because you're my spiritual family, and I really appreciate all that you've done, not just this week, but while I've been in Huntington, and also while I was here and learning and growing. I don't feel like I can do enough for you. And I hope that I'm doing something to help you as you have been helping me for years. Thank you. Thank you for your financial support to me and my family while we're at Huntington. It'd be a whole lot more difficult without your help, and we know that you pray for us, and we know that you care for us, and you think about us, and I want you to know that I think about you too. And I have to say that, you know, even given the circumstances of this couple of weeks, the unforeseen death of Buddy Pico, I am so overjoyed to be here. I'm so happy to be here. And I admire the Pico family so much, and I admire their spiritual strength even through this time of hardship. You know, you can really tell a faithful Christian and their family by the way they handle tragedy in their life. And to me, that's just one example of all of you here. And that is why I'm a preacher, is because of this kind of example and influence that I have had such a fortunate life to have had. So I wanted to take a minute and thank you, as I should, for taking care of us. You mean the world to me, and I want you to know that. I want you to be well, and I'm going to pray that you are well moving forward as I have been, and that you continue to grow spiritually, and that this the number continues to grow, but that you continue to get stronger and stronger. And I know that you'll pray the same for me and my family as well. We all want to be well. That's one of the things that we want to do in life is to be well. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about in a very practical lesson this evening as I close off the series of lessons. It's about spiritual well-being. You know, in 2008, the United Kingdom published a report, and it was from a group that did a countrywide survey. They're called the Foresight Project on Mental Capital and Well-Being. And so they surveyed quite a bit of people about what it is in their lives that affect them and their mental health. And I found this survey very interesting because the same steps can be applied spiritually. And I want to compare the two. And the reason I want to do that is if you are struggling to be happy in life, you can find fulfillment in spiritual things. You know, the world shouldn't have all of the, you know, we shouldn't allow them to influence us to the point where we listen to just the world's point of view about how to be happy, but that not only can we find mental happiness and fulfillment, but we can find spiritual happiness and fulfillment in the same way. And so I want to outline some steps on how we can improve not only our mental well-being, but we do this by improving our spiritual well-being. And I believe that is absolutely true. If you work on your spiritual well-being, then the mental side kind of follows through naturally. And so that's what I want to talk to you in a very simple lesson to understand and how we can apply some simple principles, scriptural principles, to our lives in order to improve our lives. And that's what I want to leave with you. I want you to be well. I want you to be physically well. I want you to be mentally well. But most of all, I want you to be spiritually well. I want you to be happy in the Lord, and I want you to know that the way that you can be happy in the Lord is to love one another and to be involved with one another. If you don't have relationships with your brothers and sisters who you worship with, you need to change that. And you need to get to know one another, and you need to develop relationships with one another, because that is going to improve your spiritual well-being. And in doing so, that's going to make you happier. And that's what I want to leave with you. Some five simple steps, and we're going to compare how this survey listed out some things and how that is applied to Christians and how we should apply that spiritually. And the first thing I want to talk to you about, the first step that was suggested in this survey by the Foresight Project, whenever they compiled all these results, they came up with the five things that people do in order to be happy. And the first thing that they had mentioned was the fact that people need to connect socially. People need to connect socially. And according to this survey, regarding quote-unquote mental well-being, in order to be happiest, people need to connect with other people. And that's true in the world. People who have relationships with family and with friends and with coworkers and with neighbors, whether it's at home or work or within the community, are generally the happiest people. And people who have these kind of relationships are happy, because the fact is that connections, relationships, are very critical to our well-being. And so, applying that spiritually, the Bible speaks about this as well. Our relationships are critical. As a matter of fact, what I'm talking about here is our relationship with God first, and our relationship with each other, our relationship with the brothers, the brethren, other Christians. Jesus died to reconcile us back to God and to one another. For example, when we look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, Paul wrote to the Corinthians there and was talking to them about reconciliation. Here's what he said. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. And so it's important for us to understand that one of the reasons why Jesus died for us is so that we could be reconciled to God and have a right relationship with Him. That is where all well-being starts with, spiritually, mentally, and it starts with having a right relationship with God. And He told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 2 and in verse 14, He says, "Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The fact is, Jesus didn't just die for me so that I may have reconciliation with him, but he died for all, so all may have reconciliation, and not just with him, but with each other. Because in Christ, we are one body. In Christ, we have been reconciled not just to God, but to those who otherwise we would have been separated with. In Christ, all are one, spiritually speaking. We have been reconciled to God, and we have been reconciled to each other. And that's exactly what this survey is talking about, is social relationships, connections. When we understand the connection that we have with each other because of what Christ did for us, we begin to appreciate the fact that we are one body, and that one body, it can't function without each of its members. My right leg is going to have a hard time functioning without my left leg to balance things out. And the analogy can continue. I wouldn't be able to function normally if I wasn't whole in one body. And just like that, as one body in Christ, it is critical to understand that we need each other. And in order to have each other, we have to have a relationship with each other. We need to love one another and be involved with one another. And how do we do that? Well, first, Christ and the local church are the means by which we can connect with one another. And the Hebrew writer, he talked about both of those things in this section of Scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 19. He first talks about the relationship that we have with God and how we communicate with Him. When he said, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way by which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." The fact is, Christians, we can draw near to God in prayer whenever we need to, because of Jesus Christ, because He is our mediator. And through Christ, we have a relationship and can have a right relationship with God. We can talk to Him. We can communicate with Him. And we do so through prayer. It's through prayer. And we must take advantage of this means of communication. We have to have this type of relationship with God. And not just God, but also each other. Listen as he continues in this Hebrews 10, starting with verse 23. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some." And so there's two lines of relationship, two lines of communication that in Christ we must have to take advantage of for two reasons. One, because God is our maker and He sustains us. And we have to understand that communication with Him is very important. Prayer to Him is not only suggested, but it is quite necessary for us to be spiritually well. And not only communication with God, but considering one another. Considering one another is not just a mental consideration, but it's an action. These are action verbs. This is us admonishing one another and talking with one another in order to stir one another up. We support one another, and we can't do that unless we have a relationship with each other. We must have a relationship with each other as the body of Christ. And if we don't, we cannot be as spiritually well as we need to be. We cannot be as spiritually well if we do not understand the importance of having a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. If we focus on establishing connections related to our spiritual well-being, the connections conducive to our mental well-being will follow. The second step that was suggested by the Foresight Project on these five steps on how to be well is we need to be active. And in regards to mental well-being, what they're talking about here is physical activity. They suggested that, and you heard from your doctor, every time that you go to your doctor, I'm sure that we need to exercise because exercise improves our mood and has been used successfully to reduce depression and anxiety. And those of you who exercise can attest to that. That's why Harry's one of the happiest people I know, because he's always on the golf course. Participate in something that you can do, that the survey suggested. Something that, some kind of physical activity that you enjoy, one that suits your level of mobility, suits your level of fitness if you can, for as long as you can. As long as you can, do it, because that's going to improve your, generally it's going to improve your well-being. But this is not just true physically, it's also true spiritually. To be spiritually active does the same thing spiritually as to be physically active does for our bodies. Spiritual activity is critical. It's so critical that James said that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You can say, I am a believer all day long, but if you don't show the works of a believer, what does James say about your faith? It is dead. He says this multiple times throughout James chapter 2. Verse 17 and verse 20, verse 24 and verse 26, he says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It is critical that we understand spiritual activity's importance in our lives. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created in Christ for good works. That is one of the hallmarks of a true Christian, is the fact that he is he does for others. He does good and he works, and you can see these fruits in his life. It says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul told Titus multiple times about preaching to his the congregation there. He said to remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work. And then he went on to say that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And then he went on to say in verse 14 of Titus 3 that that our people should learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, so that we may not be unfruitful, so that we may not have a dead faith. Faith without works is dead, but a faith that works is fruitful. And a fruitful life in Christ is indicative of being spiritually well. And if you don't have a faith that does anything, that it's a sign that you're not spiritually well, that you're spiritually sick. And that's something that you need to work on. How do we fix it? Well, one way is involvement in the work. The work of the local church provides plenty of opportunities to be active. Just as physical activity helps mental well-being, so spiritual activity helps spiritual well-being. And that's what Paul told Timothy, right? Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and the life which is to come. That's because bodily exercise is only going to help me in this life, in the flesh, but it's not going to carry over to the next. But godliness, Paul said, it helps now, and it sets us up for the life which is to come. And that's what's most important, is working on the spiritual, making sure that we are spiritually active, spiritually fit, whatever you want to call it, spiritual exercise. What he's talking about is doing the work of God, doing the work that we were created to do. By one way to do that is involvement with each other in the local work, in the local church. And how can we do that? How can we work if we don't even have a relationship with one another? We must be involved with each other. Now, for the third step, as I move forward in the lesson, one of the important things that this survey noted about how to be mentally well is to take notice. And what I mean by taking notice is practicing mindful awareness, self-awareness. And this is probably sounding familiar to you scripturally already. The way that we feel, our thoughts. In doing this, it improves our self-knowledge, and it improves the knowledge that we have about how mentally well that we are, reflecting on the things that we do, our experiences, you know, the things we did during the day, the things that we are grateful for. Reflecting on those things helps us appreciate those things that are important to us. And that is exactly the same truth regarding what we need to do spiritually. Being aware of where we are spiritually is important as well. The first thing is being aware of the dangers. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, for example, Paul said to them, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." We must be diligent to examine where we are spiritually in the faith, and make sure that we are who we say we are, and make sure that we are who God wants us to be, according to His Word. Take heed. We must take heed, because even faithful Christians can fall if they don't take heed. We must be aware of the dangers, but also aware of the blessings that God provides us. Just like in reflecting on what we're thankful for, we need to reflect on the great blessings that God has blessed us with. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he goes on to say, "No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you will be able to bear it." One of the greatest blessings that we have is God's Word, and that He has given all that we need in Christ through His Word and through each other and through prayer, all that we need to be strong. The blessings that He provides act as a defense for these things that might cause us harm spiritually. One of the great blessings that God provides us is protection. He definitely gives us the things that we need to be spiritually safe in Him. And another way that He offers us, one of the blessings he gives us to help us remain aware, are each other. Again, the impact of relationships that Christians have with each other involve mutual edification. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, he said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. He said, beware lest any of you depart from the living God because of an evil heart of unbelief. And the way that he helps us combat that is one another. He says, exhort one another. He doesn't say exhort one another once a week on Sunday. See, that's pretty easy because we're all gathered together and it's convenient for us to be in one place. And, you know, he says, daily, while it is called today. You can sense the urgency in what he's saying. Today, while it is still called today. That means don't wait for tomorrow. It might be too late. Don't wait till next week when it's convenient for you to see your brother and sister who might be going through some problems in their life. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Again, it highlights the importance of having a relationship, not just a convenient relationship or a one day a week relationship, but a friendship. The kind of friendships that do concern one another daily. And so we need to make sure that we are growing in building the relationships that we have with one another so we may enjoy the benefit of one another's encouragement, especially if we are going through hard times in our lives that might cause us or tempt us to depart. Accountability is what I'm talking about. We need to be more accountable for each other. We need to be involved in one another's lives. And Christians need to be willing to open up their lives so that a brother or sister in Christ can be accountable. And a lot of times we are too private and we're ascetics. You know, we like to keep to ourselves, but that's not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is togetherness. And in order to do that, we need to work on our relationships with each other. It should be evident that I see our relationships with other Christians within the context of a local church as important. Both spiritually important and for our mental well-being. I really believe that, and I think that it's true for the fourth step as well. In order to stay mentally fit, you know, these researchers suggest that people keep learning. One of the great ways to stay mentally sharp, even in a later age, is to learn a new skill. It keeps our minds growing, and our brains working. It keeps our memories better, better than it would if we weren't trying to learn a new skill. You know, learn skills, learn languages, learn something. And the people who do those things are found to be happier because it encourages social interaction on one hand, and it increases self-esteem when we learn a new skill on the other hand. And so it makes people happier. Striving towards personal goals that reflect deeply held values, as the survey said, rather than being driven by external rewards. That is, if I do something that is going to reflect a belief that I have or a value that I have, it is more likely to produce a lasting sense of satisfaction than if I just do something that produces a temporary external reward. And that can be applied spiritually also. Regarding spiritual well-being, the scriptures are clear about what a Christian should do. And first of all, we are to grow. We're not to remain the same, but we are to grow. Growing grace and grow in knowledge. For example, in 2 Peter 3:18, that's what Peter says exactly. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. We need to be on a path of growth. And one of the best ways to do that is edification by the local church. And the local church can serve as a way that we can grow spiritually. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, Paul said, He Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Quite beautiful language that Paul's describing the function of each and every single member in the local church, and the importance that each one has and the role that each one has in supplying to everybody else. He paints this picture of the body, and he says the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Everybody is involved. There's not a single member in the local church that is not part of, that should not be part of the body. Every Christian is part of the body. And therefore, every Christian has a function in the body. There's no one left out. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth. If everybody does its share, then you have growth in the body. If it's imbalanced, or if there's not a group of people, or there's just several people, or maybe just a few people who do all the work, then it's going to stunt the growth of the body for this local church. Everybody is involved, and everybody needs to be part of the growth of the body through edification. And how do we do that? Well, one, sermons. You know, the preacher has a part, but he's not the only one who has a part. Bible class teachers or Bible studies, private Bible studies or Bible classes here at the building, they do their part. And with these resources, we continue to learn and we continue to grow. Again, and I know this is all pretty repetitive, but it takes involvement in the local church. Do you want to be spiritually well as well as mentally well? Then we need to be spiritual well is by far the most important, by the way. We need to be involved with the local church. And without the local church and its edification and what it supplies, we can't be spiritually well like we need to be. But we're limiting ourselves if we don't play a part, if we don't try to be involved. We're limiting ourselves. We're stunting our own growth. And it would be a whole lot better off, both spiritually and mentally, if we just make an effort to be involved. And finally, the fifth thing that it suggested, and I thought was very interesting, about this survey, in order to be mentally well, is giving, being benevolent, being generous. And regarding mental well-being, the survey said that practicing what they call random acts of kindness Or just thanking somebody, making it a habit to thank somebody and smiling, or volunteering your time in one thing or another, or getting involved with your local community in one way or the other. Those individuals who are actively engaged in their communities doing these things report marked increase in mental well-being. The involvement, the charitable part of the involvement, caused great joy to these people. And how does that play over to our spiritual well-being? Well, the same way. Jesus taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 35, it's blessed to give. He taught that when we give, we are blessed in return. Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. With the same measure that you use, he said, it will be measured back to you. So we receive blessings from giving blessings, from giving kindness. We receive blessings from giving of our time. We receive blessings from giving of our service in the local work. We are blessed. And yes, even giving our financial resources, our money, we are blessed in return. Because all of this has a part to play in the function of the local church. And if everybody was involved, as we should all be, in the giving, in the benevolence, then you would see a much more functional, a much happier, a much better run, better resources within the local body. Everybody would be better off. It's a pretty simple thing to understand. But the main point, and I'm sure that you've already gathered, is that these things that I've spoken about have to do with our relationship with each other. And that's what I wanted to leave you with. Because your relationship with me has meant so much. I thought that maybe, you know, I could teach you a little bit from the scriptures about how your relationship with each other is just as important. And if you honor the relationship that you have, and you honor one another, and you love one another the way that the Bible teaches that we need to, then you're going to find that you're not only going to grow spiritually, but you're going to be just a happier person. Doing the work of the Lord is one of the greatest gifts that I have had the opportunity to do. But everybody has the opportunity to do work, the work of the Lord, in your own way. And I want you to take full advantage of that. And so I sought to illustrate that these five steps, connect, be active, take notice, keep learning, and benevolence or giving, whenever they're applied in our involvement within a local church, we are blessed. And we will be blessed from having been involved with one another, blessed with lasting relationships, the kind of relationship that I feel to you and you feel to me, and that I know that you have with one another. Honor each other, lift each other up, and love one another in brotherly love and kindness. And you're going to find that in regards to spiritual well-being, you're going to be blessed. And the mental well-being is going to naturally follow. Participation in the local church is more important than you might think when it comes to your happiness in this life. Well, that's the end of my lesson, and I pray that if you are not a Christian this evening, that you have considered obedience to the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16 that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, If you haven't put on Christ scripturally in scriptural baptism, tonight's a good opportunity to do so. And I would suggest that you take any opportunity that you have, be obedient to the gospel. We're not guaranteed another day in this life. Life is fleeting, and life is fragile, and it's precious, and we need to take advantage of every breath and every moment that we have. And may we do so in service to our Lord. And the first step that you need to do to be in service to our Lord is to be a Christian. You need to obey the gospel. If you have anything that you need to do regarding your spiritual life, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.